A beautiful truth that we will experience this evening is that God provides the gospel for all five of our senses. He provides his inspired word, the Bible, and the preaching of the word for our ears, our sense of hearing. And then he provides the table, the sacrament before us, for our other four senses. At the table, we can taste, touch, see, and smell the gospel. Our God loves us, and he cares for us so richly. He wants us to know and rest in the gospel with all of our senses. And that's simply wonderful, isn't it? I hope you will appreciate that this evening. Well, let's begin now by opening God's word for our ears. I invite you to open the Bible to Romans chapter 6, verse 15. Our passage will be verses 15 through 23. If you are able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God. We recognize this is his holy word to us. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to mortal lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father God, we are grateful for Christ Jesus. And we pray now, Father, that our ears would hear from your word the truth that you would have us to know and understand and respond to. And we thank you for the table set before us. May you nurture our whole bodies this evening, our bodies and our souls, unto your glory and honor. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Excuses for sin happen, don't they? I think we would all have to admit that we have given them, maybe in our minds, maybe even out loud. I think we have probably all given at times an excuse for sin. And sometimes part of the excuse is this: God is gracious. He will forgive. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought, God is gracious? If I do this, he's going to forgive. So it's therefore no big deal. If you've thought that, you're probably not alone. Christians, I think, do at times think that. For we still have a sinful nature. We take God's grace for granted, and we think of sin, therefore, as no big deal because he's going to forgive us. That is the kind of thinking Paul is dealing with in this passage. It's the kind of thinking he's been dealing with for the past many verses that we've been looking at in this series. In this passage, Paul continues to attack faulty thinking about sin and grace. He asks a question addressing what some people were saying. In verse 15, we read, "What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace?" Some were saying that since we are saved by grace and we are no longer under the law, well, then we are free to sin. We know that Christ has fulfilled the law. We understand that the law is not there for us to be saved by the law. And we understand that the law can no longer condemn us. So some have concluded that we can therefore sin all we want and enjoy the grace of God. So Paul asks, should we really live that way? Shall we sin because we are under grace and not under the law? And he answers very clearly, by no means. Dear friends, Paul wants us to understand that sin matters. We do not rightly understand the grace of God if we do not understand that sin matters. All sin matters, and we have to remember sin is deadly. It's dangerous. We dare not play around with sin. That's what Paul wants us to fully understand in this passage. To prove sin matters, to help us think about and remember that sin is deadly, Paul refers to slavery. And so we're going to spend the rest of our evening considering what Paul says here about slavery and sin. I'm calling my first point this evening our past choice to be a slave. Our past choice to be a slave. To understand this point, I first of all ask you to think about what Paul says in verse 16. Quote, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey?" In this verse, we hear the reality that slavery is not always forced upon us. Sometimes we enter it willingly. We choose to obey a master. And by that choice, we become slaves of the master. Regarding that choice to be a slave, I will first of all explain that sometimes people choose to be slaves because they realize the master is good and loving, and that being his slave will be a blessing. There's a passage in the Old Testament in which we see this. Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 6 say, "Now these are the rules that you shall set before them. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh year he shall go out free for nothing. If he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, 'I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free,' then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever." The slavery we see in the Bible is not always ugly and evil. Sometimes it is good. That's what we see in this passage. We see slaves had rights. Slaves were treated and seen as human beings. They had protection through laws, and some masters were excellent. They provided their slaves with a good life. So therefore, some people chose to be slaves to those good masters forever. This was just a good, really, occupation for them. Slaves could only be kept for 6 years, and then they had to be set free. And at that time, the person could choose to remain a slave for life. That's a good example of willfully choosing to be a slave to a good master. And that makes sense, doesn't it? We will see just how much sense that makes as we continue to look at the passage. But sadly, we sometimes choose to be slaves of evil masters. And the masters are not always people. Our passage is about sin as a master. To help us think about what our passage says regarding sin as a master, I'm going to refer to drug addiction. Drug addiction in our day provides a very graphic picture of sin as a master. Drug promises euphoria. A drug's promise release from problems, freedom from pain, escape from what's going on. And therefore, people give themselves to the drugs. in our country, we have seen an opiate epidemic. And when people give themselves to drugs, they become slaves. And they end up obeying at any cost. Sometimes they lose their homes, they lose their jobs, they steal, they lie, they prostitute themselves. I read a story recently of a woman who chose this life. It started, believe it or not, when she was 6 years old. Very sad reading that. Her mother was a drug addict. And at the age of six, her own mother introduced her to marijuana. So her choice came from a strong influence at a young age. But as she got older, she moved on to harder drugs. And the enslavement to the drugs led her to 13 felonies, I think it was. And the story, there was a picture of her. I believe it was a mugshot taken during one of her arrests. And she did not look like a young woman. She looked old, sick, near death. That's common with hard drug addictions. Before drugs, people have, you know, beautiful skin, bright eyes. They look their age, maybe even younger than their age. And then after addiction, they look old. Their skin is unhealthy. It's shriveled. Their eyes are vacant, become gaunt. The slavery to drugs leads to death. And it is slavery they choose. They did so by taking that first hit. And the sin of drugs is an evil master. Addiction to drugs is a good picture of what Paul was talking about concerning any sin. And most sin will not visibly lead you to shame and death like drug addiction does. But Paul says anytime you give yourself to sin, it will enslave you. It will shame you. It will lead you to death. That is what all sin does. It's an evil master. You start to obey it, you become a slave to it. And in verse 17, Paul says, we all have a history of being a slave to sin. Now look at what Paul says in the middle of the verse. Quote, you who were once slaves of sin. That's about all of us. Earlier in the book of Romans, we learned that we are all guilty of Adam's sin. We're all born sinners, and we quickly choose sin as a master. The article I just told you about is, again, a good example. That young girl of six, influenced by her drug addict mother, becoming a drug addict herself. Well, likewise, because of the influence of Adam, and more so because of the legal representation of Adam, we were all born in sin, and we all have at some time obeyed sin. We have lived with sin as a master. And the master wanted to keep us enslaved. The master wanted to shame us and lead us down that road that ends in death. We didn't know it, but under the enslavement of sin, our spiritual health was sick and pale and shriveled and vacant as an addict to hard drugs. Paul tells us earlier in Romans, we were dead in sin. We were slaves under its evil dominion. That's why I'm calling this our past choice to be a slave, our first point tonight. Now, Paul also points out that Christians have been rescued from that enslavement. We've been rescued by God rightly, and we have rightly become His slaves. And that's my next overall point. I'm calling it our rescue to be a slave to Christ. A rescue to be a slave to Christ. Paul words this rescue and slavery two different ways. In verse 18, Paul says, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. And in verse 22, he says, but now that you've been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God. Those two statements are not about two different realities. They're about one reality. Enslavement to God is enslavement to righteousness because all of God's ways and commandments are righteous. When you obey God, you are obeying righteousness. Now, to hear that we have been rescued from God to be his slave, well, that might have a sour sound to it in our ears, because slavery is something we tend to think of as entirely negative. Our American history gives us that tendency. We can't imagine slavery being good. But as I pointed out earlier, in the Bible, we see that there are some examples of slavery that is good because some masters are good. And dear friends, God is a perfect master. He's perfect. And more than that, we need to remember that we were rescued from slavery through redemption. We were bought at a price. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20 say, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." The price that was paid for us was unimaginably large, for it was the blood of Jesus. And with that price in mind, this passage calls us to glorify God in our bodies. And that's what our passage in Romans says as well. In verse 19 of our passage, Paul writes, "I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. We are to present our bodies to the one who shed his blood to rescue us from slavery, to redeem us from that evil that ends in death, which is slavery we put ourselves under. Offering our bodies as slaves to our rescuer is the right response to redemption. And it's a wise response because it is good to be a slave of God. He's a good master. He's a perfect master, a holy master. The difference between God as a master and sin as a master is night and day. You can't find masters more different than each other. Listen again to what Paul says about the master called sin, verses 20 and 21. "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." The master called sin commands us to do shameful things. I think of that woman I mentioned who by a young age had committed 13 felonies. The master called sin made her do shameful things. And all the while, the master of sin was leading her to death. And besides death, the only other thing the master of sin gives is freedom from righteousness. Notice Paul mentions that. Paul writes that under the master called sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That, sadly, is what our sinful nature wants, isn't it? We want to be the Lord of our own lives. We want to make our own rules. We want to be free from the righteousness of the one true living God, thinking that righteousness keeps us from the life we really want. We think that sin gives us freedom from that terrible righteousness that keeps us from life. But actually, sin makes us slaves and gives us death. Sin is a deceptive, cold, killing master. God, on the other hand, commands us to do commendable deeds. Now look at verse 22. "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." When God is our master, we are commanded to do that which sanctifies. We do truly loving deeds. We are a blessing to others. And the end is not only life in this world, the end is eternal life. The two masters are entirely different. We should therefore give thanks every day that we have been rescued from slavery to sin to be slaves of God and righteousness. But instead, what Paul is sadly dealing with in this chapter is the desire to return to sin. Makes no sense whatever to do that. But isn't it true that our sinful nature moves us in that direction? We want to return to sin. Sin entices us. Master sin calls our name and promises us freedom from righteousness and enjoyment of immorality and other vices as if it will make our lives better. Sin is totally deceptive and it is very tempting. In this passage, Paul is simply saying, recognize what is going to happen if you go back to obeying sin. Paul says, as soon as you do, sin will become your master again. And once again, you'll be headed down the path of shame and death. Why do you want to do that? That's what he's asking here. Help us think about what Paul is saying. I want to go back to that story I told you earlier of the woman who started drugs at the age of 6. When she was arrested for her last felony, it suddenly hit her that her life was indeed miserable. She had had children by that time, and her children had been taken from her. She was headed back to jail. She was unhealthy. Her life was miserable. Drugs were doing her no favors. They were taking her life from her. And so as she was being put in a police car, she made a decision. She decided she was going to flee drugs and start a better life. We can word her decision this way. She decided to run from enslavement to drugs and run towards enslavement to something else. In this case, she set herself a good goal. She entered school. And if I remember right, it was last fall she graduated from university. The before and after pictures of her are amazing. As she looked old and near death, went on drugs. And now she looks like a healthy, happy young woman. Her life is completely different. And I ask you, can you imagine her saying, well, now that I'm free from drugs, I can use them as I want? Now, that would be utterly foolish, wouldn't it? That would blatantly be a bad decision. If she went back to drugs, they would enslave her once again, and she would quickly end up shamed and headed towards death. Returning to drugs would completely ruin the good life she now has. Paul is saying, realize that is what you are doing when you turn back to sin. As soon as you start to obey sin, it's going to master you again. It will enslave you, it will shame you, it will kill you. So don't do it. That's Paul's message. That's the application. Recognize how ruthless and deadly sin is and gladly obey Christ, your good master. Tonight I've used addiction to drugs as a graphic picture of what Paul is talking about. Drug addiction, drug addictions do physically everything Paul mentions in this passage. But we need to recognize that what Paul is saying is true about any sin. Most sins do not physically harm us like drugs do, but all sin is just as deadly. All sin shames us and kills our spiritual health. I'd like to tell you that the woman I've told you about this evening, who has now left behind addictions to drugs and who is now a university graduate, I'd like to tell you that she is a Christian, but the article doesn't say that. Maybe she is. It certainly would not surprise me, but it's also possible she is not. The article simply doesn't talk about that. But you certainly do not have to be a Christian to kick a drug habit. I refer to the woman one more time to say this. if she is not a Christian, if she has not repented of her sins, if she has not placed her faith in Christ, if she's not living with Christ as her Lord and Master, then think about this. What was happening to her physically under drugs is sadly still happening to her spiritually. Dear friends, just because we look healthy physically, just because we're happy in this life, doesn't mean we're not dying as we obey the master called sin. Listen to the last verse of our passage, a verse that is very well known. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That verse states well the gospel of Jesus, the good news all people need to hear and respond to. We need to turn away from all sin and turn to Christ as our Lord, as our Master. And God has given us that opportunity this evening. Tonight we can do so. So here is how I'm going to end. I'm going to read for us the Ten Commandments. And then after I'm done reading them, I'm going to sit down, and then during that time you're going to have just a moment to think about them. Let's use them as a mirror to evaluate our lives. And then Pastor Matt is going to lead us in a congregational prayer. A congregational health certainly includes confession of sin and longing for sanctification. After that prayer, we will sing, and then we will enjoy the gospel for our sight, our touch, our taste, our smell. So hear now the Ten Commandments. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or anything that belongs to your neighbor.